Hi, hello. This is another bonus episode of commentary. You can tell what commentary it is by the title, I guess. I regret this. I really do. This is going to be Adventures in X and Y, Pokemon X and Y, 01 Bug Badge. I'm not sure what the inspiration I had was to do like a mini-series, an audio mini-series, I should say, for Pokemon games. Probably because like Let's Plays were really popular on YouTube, but I wasn't a YouTuber. That's probably my best guess from like 11 years ago. They said it was recorded in 2013. So I guess that's here. I have no clue what's in this. I listened to the first 10 seconds and I was like, okay, well, here we go. I got a bunch of regret already. But my assumption is I give impressions about X and Y that I probably don't agree with today. We're going to listen to this together. And you are all probably going to have a good time, and I'm probably just going to feel like, why did I ever put this out into the world 11 years ago? So here we go. Hello, everyone. If you are tuning in, this is not a official episode of It's Super Effective. Well, I guess it's like official in the fact that I'm doing it, but it's this is like a little spin-off series we're doing for Pokemon X and Y. Or
why do I sound like I'm always like whispering? Or older me sounds incredibly timid. I think I'm just jaded now. I've seen too much. Get off my lawn.
What I'm doing for Pokemon X and Y, this is like a little Pokemon diary journal entry thing of my experience through the game. Unlike Black and White 2, I'm going to actually be playing the entire game.
I didn't finish Black and White 2 at this time. Yeah,
from every segment. So this recording will be from the very start of X and Y to the end of the first gym battle. So, what's going to break up in the segment. There's going to be a episode for between every gym.
I don't like the way my microphone sounds.
So if it takes a little longer to get from gym 2 to 3, that episode will be a little longer. But figuring on average, these will range between, 15 to 20 minutes, nothing too long. But
that's not true. I'm looking at the timestamps.
Like, listen along and hear my journey, my experience, and, tweet at me afterwards of your thoughts.
None of these were under 20 minutes.
Change direction, but this is a new thing, so we'll see if it works out. But anyways, this is episode 1 from the start of Pokemon X and Y
to
the very end of the first gym battle in the game. So enjoy.
Oh, I do. How long did I run this theme song? How long is this theme song? That was me adding the effects. I don't want to skip forward because I don't know how long this is, and then I don't want to rewind. Theme song is definitely too long.
All right, what is up, everyone? My name is SBJ, and this might be a little weird because it's just me and
regrettable.
I'm just talking about the beginning of the game. So hopefully you heard the little intro in future episodes.
I will say it is hard to podcast solo, but I think it's very similar to like YouTube videos where you're talking to no one. I'm much, much more comfortable in like a live situation. Even like I'm comfortable now. Like there's no this is very easy so far for me to record, minus hearing myself. I don't know if I have recorded a lot of solo stuff prior to this episode. I'm trying to think. But this might be like technically new for me.
The intro won't be as long because I will obviously be just explaining point A to point B. This is what you're going to listen to. So if you're not from point A to point B and you don't want it spoiled, then don't listen to this episode yet. But like I said before, this episode is from the start of the game to the end of the first gym battle, which is with Viola. Viola.
Viola. Come on.
I don't have anyone here to correct me. So,
I'm here.
I'm just going to say everything wrong.
Correcting you now.
So my first experience with the game, if this is your first ever episode of It's Super Effective, just to let you know, if you're a new listener, this is not a normal episode of It's Super Effective. That's why it's going to be titled differently than the other episodes. This is just my playthrough through X and Y. And beginning thoughts of the game. I went digital download.
Oh, I did get digital.
Get the game at 11 o'clock. I was actually at a wedding.
That's true. I think this was the first time Nintendo sent me a game, actually. I wonder if I say that here.
Last night, though, it was my friend Aaron Spriggs, who was the first ever guest on It's Super Effective. He got married.
Doxing. So
congratulations to him and his new wife, Cheryl. Very exciting. I was the best man. I gave a speech, made a lot of people laugh. But at 11 o'clock, I started downloading the game of Pokemon X and Y, what you're actually here to listen to me talk about. And didn't go very smoothly. Got a lot of errors right off the bat. But about 15 minutes of trying the game, actually started downloading. It took about an hour. And I downloaded Pokemon X. And for those of you listening that hate digital or think digital is bad because you like things on your shelf.
Oh, boy.
I am buying the retail versions. I'm just not going to open them. I'm just going to have them for my collection. It's one of the few games I would like retail, but I like the ability of having digital. And I want to thank Nintendo and the Pokemon Company. They did send me review versions of the game.
Oh, I did say
they sent them a little late. I got them last night. So I couldn't review the game or play the game early for you guys. I guess I was a little bit farther on their list of who to give copies out early. But I did get my review copies last night, which was pretty exciting. But you guys are listening to it now, so that's great.
Good disclosure.
Normally, when I was going to start the game leading up to Pokemon X and Y, I was on Team Chespin. I then switched to Team Fennekin after I saw Fennekin's final evolution.
That was smart.
I couldn't resist with all the spoilers that were happening last week. The only thing I sought out to see was the final evolutions of the three, and I was lucky enough to avoid almost all the other spoilers. But Fennekin's final evolution, and I won't spoil it for you guys if you don't want to know, that is what switched me. So I started off Pokemon X with Fennekin.
I mean, I agree that Fennekin is better than Chespin at final evolution-wise, but like, I can't believe I missed out on... Like, Greninja is the actual star of X. Like, Greninja is the actual cool one out of the three of them. Delphox is okay. Hot Topic at the time sold shirts that were like hashtag Team Fennekin, hashtag Team Froakie. There was a lot of that on social media, for better or for worse, I guess.
I named him Sizzle. But I'm going to back up real quick because... So start off the game, the intro of the game I think is pretty cool. You see Mega Charizard X and you see Mega Mewtwo as well. So
you do?
Weird that the intro movie is in 3D. So for those of you who haven't played or are playing,
what am I talking about?
The battle scenes are in 3D. And when you pick your character at the beginning of the game, that's also in 3D when you're like looking in the mirror and stuff. So my first initial thoughts was, oh my God, this is so weird walking in.
Also, like, I forgot that the game had any 3D because I know for sure I didn't play in 3D. I'm sure I turned it on to like for the pure sake of talking about it, but man, I forgot that the 3D, like, I know it's called the 3DS, but boy, did I do nothing 3D on that console ever.
In 360 degrees, usually I'm used to walking horizontal or vertical, and that's about it. Walking in 360 is really weird. And really, it's a huge breakaway from the whole other five generations to actually like see like I'm doing air quotes here, but a 3D environment walking around. All very cool, all very different. So
it was a big jump.
If there are people on the fence about this game, like if you have friends that
no
are
one's
like,
on the fence listening to this podcast,
Pokemon, but like after Silver and Gold, like I kind of lost track and now there's too many Pokemon for me to feel like I can get back into it. Like, no, stop them and make sure like you show them this game and explain like this is the reason to get back into Pokemon. Like, yeah, we could say like, oh, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, or, you know, Black and White's a good start. But no, like this is like the real reset to get back in. And just the first like 10 minutes of the game, you can tell the detail and like the grass and the scenery and the house and everything. Speaking of the house, your mom actually has like her own bedroom finally. I know that was like a huge joke between like Pokemon games of like, oh, like you live upstairs in this room and your mom lives downstairs in the kitchen. Like, ha ha ha, very funny. But that was one of the first things I noticed is your mom has her own bedroom. Also, I think everyone already tweeted.
I don't think they do in Sun and Moon, though.
There's the product placement of the Wii U in your bedroom.
Wait, X and Y had a Wii U?
Other funny thing, just speaking about, like, notice environmental things, is your neighbor's house their mom does not have a bedroom. They have like an upstairs and there's the kitchen and everything, but no bedroom for them. And what else did I notice? You get the town map right away as well. And going back to your house, you have like this huge like 80-inch wide TV above your widescreen TV above your fireplace, which is kind of weird. It just kind of makes it look like you live in this house of luxury or something.
I've been listening to this and I feel like I would edit this so differently.
But anyways, to the game. So start off with Fennekin. First battle was against Chespin. I believe they pick the weaker of the starter two. I can't remember the people's names right off the bat, but I named my character Steve. They were like, hey, we need a nickname for you. I was like, oh, SBJ. Like, that's cool because that's what they call me in the show. That's like my actual real nickname. So that was pretty cool, pretty personalized. Right off the bat, you see the PSS, the player search system, player super seductive system, whatever.
Excuse me?
Whatever they're calling it. But and then once you hit the upper right-hand corner, I believe, there's the little Wi-Fi button that will connect you to the internet. And then you can see everyone that's on your friends list slide across and really just be super distracting because people are giving you nices. And then when you're like in a battle, they're giving you like, let me double check what this thing is called so I'm not messing it up. But so you have your O power is what they're called.
Ugh, yeah.
So you can do.
Do you remember this?
So if you were to click on somebody's,
I was trying
name,
to
you can
think of what I was trying to explain.
O power, which will let them either get like HP in battle or increase their attack in battle, so they can they can directly affect you in your game just with this O power. Because we're on the topic of the PSS, from there, anyone on your friends list, you can battle right away, you can trade to right away, and you can do something what is called game chat, which will allow you to do use the built-in mic in the 3DS to chat with somebody else who is currently playing the game. So right away, I tried that with Travis, one of the reoccurring guests on the show, and it worked great. I mean, like, the mic is only so good, and the stereo system in the
I don't remember doing this
so
at
good,
all.
So I would recommend using like a set of headphones with a built-in microphone there.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm lying. I just don't remember
so
that.
That's kind of like the rundown of the PSS. I still don't have any acquaintances.
Why didn't I edit that?
I'm not sure how to get people there. I know you can do like a best friends list as well. Also, some people were glowing blue. So if you know what that means, I haven't looked too far into it, but if I've seen other people glowing blue. Anyways, to continue.
Even right now, I don't remember anything about the PSS at all. I'm sure I used it, but now it's been so long that I don't remember really anything that it does besides the sending of O powers and then like ease of use when it comes to trading.
I started my journey with Fennekin, walked around town, talked to people. Noticed in the first town that's not your starting town, the Pokemon Center is not a Pokemon Center. It's just kind of like a little shack that they heal your Pokemon. First thing I tried to do is buy 10 Pokeballs, which does indeed get you a Premier Ball.
Thank goodness.
Which if you're a listener to the show, pretty frequently I like to catch everything in Premier Balls. Everything on my team I'd want to keep. Now, going through X and Y, I did want... I've never completed a Pokédex, and I always say I'm going to complete a Pokédex through the game.
Spoiler, I did not complete the X and
we'll
Y Pokédex.
Get to what my Pokédex has ended at the end of the show, because I think it's pretty okay for only playing for about 3 hours. And so, started my journey, battling. The first Pokémon I legitimately got really excited about was Scatterbug. I think...
You did?
The digital bug form is really cool. I really like bug Pokemon.
I do?
So I did use a Premier Ball to catch a male Scatterbug. I named it Cash, like the computer Cash, going with the digital theme. C-A-C-H-E. Him and Fennekin are my only two solid people.
People.
Staying on my team, I did get my Scatterbug to evolve into its middle form, which I have no clue what its name is. But then I did get it to its final form, which is level 12. And that is Vivillon.
Spoopa?
The butterfly.
Vivillon.
Cool fact about this digital butterfly is the male version is blue and gray. and the female version of the butterfly is pink.
Oh,
if you follow me on Twitter, I can post like a picture of like Pikachu actually being different. The male version just looks like your normal Pikachu.
Why did I think that?
And the female version actually has a heart on the end of its tail.
Did we not know at this time how many versions of butterfly? Was that not public knowledge? I guess I wouldn't have known if I didn't see spoilers at all. But mine would have been blue because of the polar area of it. So that makes sense. Huh. Well, I was wrong there, obviously. I wonder if I ever correct myself on that. I don't ever remember saying this. I mean, yeah.
So there is, there are differences between male and female. It looks like the male and female cries can be different too, because it gives you that option. I'm not sure yet.
I know if that's prior to the game coming out, they only showed the pink one.
Or not. I could be just making it up, but it seems like their cries could be different depending on male and female. So game is great. Everyone was saying the first forest is a big reminder of the Viridian Forest. But, I mean, it's definitely a lot smaller. There's not a lot of Pokeballs lying around.
Is it not a one-to-one match?
I do enjoy the pace of the, that changes. Of the game. I think to get you to move between towns very quickly and have a variety of Pokemon right away is awesome. Before we get to the first major town back to the forest, there is a youngster, Joey, that appears right away, and I know a lot of people got excited about that. He does not have a Rattata. It is super disappointing that he doesn't, but it is cool that there is a youngster, Joey. I don't know if Game Freak intentionally put that in there or just Joey is a common enough name that they don't think about it, but I'm pretty sure they're aware of the youngster Joey fandom.
Yeah, but what Pokemon did he have?
The other thing I noticed here is Pikachu has a new cry. I talked about cries earlier, or literally seconds ago, but Pikachu does actually say, like, Pika.
I think that was new to X and Y.
Something like that. Very cool. I'm a big fan of that. I mean, watching the Pokemon anime is, like, the main reason people watch Pokemon in combat. So to bring that back to the game where combat is getting more and more towards the anime level, and I'm using that vaguely because I would say the combat in X and Y is better than Pokemon Stadium, which was the closest you could get to like Pokemon moving,
well, like the,
and interacting
the 3D
without
stuff, yeah.
Watching the anime. I'm a big fan of the new cries. I like it a lot.
I do like when Pikachu says his name.
I also like the variety in trainers you meet even right off the bat between the first couple towns. Preschooler Oliver is a good example of one of those. He's like a huge little fro, bright orange jacket, little Charizard plush doll in his backpack. Other things I noticed is right away, I think it's like a Goldeen tries to use Splash against you. Splash still doesn't do anything. There is Dunsparce in the area. Dunsparce is now a fairy
what?
Type.
Wait, why did I say that? That's wrong. All
right, so we get to Santa Loon City. That's like the first major city. First gym battle is, and that is where the first real Pokemon Center is. And Pokemon Center is very cool. I don't know if anyone noticed, but when you put your Pokemon,
what?
Give them
how is there so much misinformation in this episode? Why? What? Why would I say Dunsparce is a fairy type? Did I not catch it and not check? Why would, was there some thing I looked up or read that said it was fairy? Why did I say that so casually? I hate this timeline. What?
She's still called Nurse Joy. If you look at the blue screen above her, you'll see all your Pokemon actually appear, which is really cool. It gives you a quick view in your party. Behind the Pokemon Center to the left is the dressing area where you can change your clothes. And then to the right is where you can buy Pokeballs and potions and everything you need. Like I said before, 10 Pokeballs still gets you a Premier Ball, and it's the only Pokeball that matters in this game. And right to the right of the Pokemon Center, there's a clothing shop that's going to sell just hats. Initial thoughts on the clothing, very cool. More initial thoughts is the clothing is actually really expensive. After buying 10 Pokeballs to get a Premier Ball, I didn't have enough for any kind of hat or anything. And I knew, like, if I wanted to buy more Pokeballs, I wouldn't be able to put money aside for that. Now I know it is the beginning of the game, but it was like, I was so excited to get clothing, and there was, like, that priority of, like, do I want to catch Pokemon or do I want a new hat? Pokemon are probably going to matter more than the hat will off the bat.
That's true.
But there will be different clothing shops in other towns. Santa Loon has a Rosalela.
What?
Some Roselia? Grass Pokemon in the center with water coming out of it. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a bunch of empty buildings. Santa Loon is where you get your roller
skates.
How
can I say Santa Loon, but not Roselia?
Also go to, there's a Pokemon training school. Yeah, the Pokemon trainer school. This is where you get X attack and X defense, and they kind of explain this. To me, this needs to leave the game. No one uses X attack or X defense really in single player. It's not allowed in multiplayer at all, so I don't know why it's still a focus, especially since, I don't know, like, I don't know anyone who spends money on X attack or uses it during battles for it to matter.
That's funny, because I just used X attack while I was playing Let's Go Pikachu before I was recording this. I know that, like, speedrunners use X attack and X defend. There's a lot I could say here. Like, I do agree with my old self that, like, who is using X attack and X defend? Because while I do think it's beneficial for, like, a speedrunner to do that, which is probably a very small part of the Pokemon audience, I don't know of any, like, casual people actually using that or maybe even understanding what they do. Like, I bought them in my scenario of buying them for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, I knew I had to brute force a gym that I was weak to. Both my Pokemon I had were just weak to it, so I was able to X defend, heal, X attack, and then like two shot instead of what would probably be like a five shot. And then with the X defend, just be able to survive those attacks better. But I don't know how much, like, somebody who does pick up a Pokemon game, you know, every couple years, like, I don't know what those items are specifically for, because I think it's very easy for a newer player or even a player who just doesn't listen to Pokemon podcasts or, like, are ingrained in this like we are to, like, use it and not actually see what it's doing or understand, like, oh, it was only, is it only working for the next turn? Is it working for the whole battle? Is it working for all of our Pokemon? I don't know. I think they're really interesting. They're very archaic items. And I would be so curious of, like, what the actual percentage usage is. Because when I think of, like, my Scarlet and Violet playthrough, I didn't use a potion or a revive at all through that entire game from start to Elite Four. Like, obviously, I went to Pokemon Centers and stuff, and obviously, I changed out my teams, but I never used a potion once at all in battle, which is, like, whatever. Like, I'm not saying get rid of potions. I'm just... Like, I would also assume there's a lot of players who just never equipped a held item. Well, we see this with raids all the time, where people just, oh, like, that person's using Iron Hands and they have no held item at all. So if people aren't even using held items, which are significantly more useful, I think the X items are this just very older system that still exists. And I would not be surprised if they ever went away, but I'm more surprised that they exist, I guess, even though they're not harming or hurting anyone.
I'd love to hear your guys' feedback, but to me, like, those are things that can really leave the game completely. When you get to Santa Loon, that is where the gym is. Yeah, there is Route 22. That's where you can catch Bidoofs, Farfetch's, Dunsparce's, that little fire lion
Litleo
thing, Pyroar. That's also is where it's going to lead over to Victory Road, where they yell at you that you need 8 badges, and then if you try to go even further through Victory Road, there's another person that stops you as well. So finally, getting to the Santa Loon City Gym, that is where you will challenge Vyla. She is a bug-type gym leader. Did trade for a Farfetch, super excited to get a Farfetch, but I couldn't catch him in my Premier Ball, and then I was focusing way too much time trying to catch my own Farfetch. And I know you can trade the hiker guy for a Farfetch, but it's not the same. I want a Farfetch and a Premier Ball. So I gave up on that. I also found a Psyduck, and I was like, oh, Golduck. And then I was like, nah, it wouldn't be a good Golduck unless it was in a Master Ball. So we're going to skip that option too. She is a photographer. It's really cool because when you go in, you see a whole bunch of bug photography really well done. You drop down onto a spider web, and that is kind of like a maze that's going through. There's 3 trainers before that. And then you get to Viola.
Viola.
Actually, a really interesting battle for being the first battle. And I know if you're listening to this show, you're probably a hardcore Pokemon player. You've probably played every generation of the game.
Not me.
But what I thought was very interesting is, for me, starting off with Fennekin, I thought this was going to be Ember, battle done, good to go.
Was that not what happened?
But she starts off with a Sunskirt and actually Surskirt? Uses Water Pulse or Water Drought or whatever water move that is. Sorry, I'm talking fast and I can't remember.
It's Water Pulse.
But she weakens all Fire-type moves, which when I brought up Fennekin, it actually mattered.
Got it.
And no, that's not the biggest deal, but that shows that instead of just like, let's look at Gen 1 where you faced Brock. If you had Bulbasaur, it was easy right through. And now, five generations later, if you had Fennekin, it would have been easy right through. But they did think about that and put Sunskirt in
Surskirt.
So weaken Fire-type moves. I thought that was super clever.
I don't remember what the move is called, though.
That is my first initial thoughts of the game. Obviously, I won. Duh. If I lost, I wouldn't be a host of a Pokemon podcast, I guess.
Debatable.
The badge is actually really cool when you get it. And then you get the move Infestation, I think.
Infestation. You are a terrible host.
Before I wrap things up, I want to give you guys a Pokédex update. I plan to do this at the end of every episode. So my Pokédex sits right now as 32 seen, 18 owned, with about 3 hours of gameplay. So
the move, by the way, was Water Sport, which reduces the base power of Fire-type moves by 50% on both sides of the battle. The effect will last until the user switches out. So it only stays up until Surskit gets knocked out. And then that move got cut in Generation 8. Which is that's probably the most interesting part here, is Water Sport was a move until Gen 7, and then Gen 8 it was taken away. Which it's a cool move. I'm actually surprised I'm not surprised I didn't remember it. It's cool that she uses it. There's like a lot of options to defeat Viola though. Like you could just bring any of the birds that you would have saw and just gust your way to victory, I'm sure.
That is my Pokedex. Pretty proud that I caught, or I have 18 different Pokemon, because that's more than I ever had in Black and White 2. So that's a pretty good start for 3 hours. I tried to cram as much of the game as I could, but still record so I wouldn't forget things. But I still did forget things because there's so much to take in throughout your first journey in Pokemon X and Y, and I'm super, super happy with it. Hope you guys are too. I hope you guys enjoyed this little mini episode. If you want to follow me, I will be somewhat live tweeting my gameplay as I play through Pokemon X. My Twitter is at Dragging a Lake. You can follow the show on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. And tomorrow you will get episode 2, hopefully, as soon as I make it through to the second gym leader, which I don't know because I stayed away from spoilers. So I am on my way to Lumos City, I believe, is the next city. I hope so.
Lumios. Oh, my
that's
gosh.
That's where I think I'm headed.
This guy's unbearable.
We'll see you all next time. This has been a diary episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and it is super effective.
Huh. Well, you know, that was a thing. That existed. I'm really dumbfounded about how much I got wrong. I like how the credits are still playing. My credit theme song is like 2 minutes long, I think. I don't think there's anything after credits. We'll let it play. There's like a mannerism that when I hear myself talk, I'm like more noticeable of it in hindsight. And I don't particularly like it, but whatever. It's just very noticeable when I listen to myself back. Overall, I would say my impressions, I'm disappointed in my own impressions. It felt like a very shallow episode. Like I didn't say anything that really had substance. Like, listening to it back, I think the thing that was the most interesting was me getting a bunch of things blatantly wrong, like Dunsparce being fairy. I have no clue where that came from. The other thing that stood out was just, like, a move that no longer exists in current games, which was Water Sport. Which is, like, cool that I remember now in retrospect, it's like, oh yeah, that they used a move that's no longer there, but sure, that was for sure an episode. I'll let you guys vote for what the next episode will be if you guys want the second version of this, or will you just scroll through time and pick another random episode? But thank you for supporting. Thank you for listening. It does mean the world to me, and it lets me be able to be privileged and fortunate enough to do this. So I do really appreciate all the Patreons and everyone who stays subscribed. And yeah, again, there'll be a little poll probably in the next week or so for what we'll do for April, and we'll go from there. Thank you for listening, and I will see you guys next time.